If you are a teacher, parent, administrator, student, and/or anyone who loves reconnecting children with nature, and you want to figure out how to cultivate learning gardens and nature-based curriculum, then this is the podcast, the Outdoor Classrooms Podcast. My name is Victoria Hackett. I am the founder of OutdoorClassrooms.com and the Secret Gardens Nature Classes. I love witnessing the magic that happens when children are playfully learning outdoors. Observing the return of wonder and curiosity when children are interacting with nature is pure magic. This is the podcast that is going to help you capture children's interest and give you not only inspiration, but some real life strategies that are going to help you figure out how to use the outdoor space, your outdoor space, as a teaching tool, so you can enlighten the playful learning experience for young children. Welcome to our Outdoor Classrooms community. Hello, everybody. We are here with Shannon Sadler, and she is here to talk about her amazing program. For those that are listening, this is an Outdoor Classrooms tour and talk, which means that we, while we're talking, we're actually looking behind the scenes at Shannon's amazing preschool program, all nature-based. And we are going to be having an amazing conversation. So if you are a Circle member in our community, these Outdoor Classroom Tour and Talks are in the private portal of your membership. So this is a part of our membership community. It's a bonus. But if you're not a member, you will be enjoying this conversation anyway. But come on over and join us in that amazing Circle community. So welcome, welcome, Shannon. So Shannon, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, a little bit about yourself and where you're from, and a little bit about your journey before starting your Little Range Learning Preschool?
Yeah, I am Shannon Sadler with Little Free Range Learners Preschool, and we are in Ellensburg, Washington, which is right in the middle of Washington State. We probably have similar weather to what you guys have in Massachusetts, I would guess. This is our third year that we've been going on. I was homeschooling my kids a few years ago. Let me back up for a second. I was working at the public school, and I remember reading Angela Hanscom's book, Balance and Barefoot. And that really, that kind of was like that light bulb moment for me where I knew that I needed to do something a little bit different. So I did decide to homeschool my kids for a few years during COVID. And then I wanted to share my passion for early childhood education while also utilizing the 2 acres that we just moved to. And so I started listening to podcasts when yours popped up because, you know, naturally it's right in the title. And I loved learning outside. I loved the idea of place-based education where the kids could learn what they actually could put their hands on. And that kind of sparked that desire to do something else with my time and with my talent. And so that's where we started this idea, kind of built it up from nothing. And then here we are today.
Incredible. Isn't it incredible how one idea can just morph into this amazing journey? So you were teaching at a regular school.
Well, I was a special ed parapro, like a one-on-one.
Right. Which is incredibly important. Not just, take that just
right.
out of that sentence.
Sorry. No. Yes, but I was not teaching. I want to make sure that I'm clear
yes.
on that.
Oh. So, but with that, you've been around children, you've so on and so forth. Has this journey in terms of teaching outdoors changed your philosophy of education? Any insight on that?
Great question. In that moment when I first read Balance and Barefoot, I remember walking through recess with the special ed director. And I said, you know, I was so on fire about it. I was like, I read this book. It's really great. You know, they talk about, you know, vestibular sense and all of those kind of things that I'd never even thought about as far as just helping calm the child. I'm a boy mom. I have 3 boys at my home. And so I know that kids need to spin and crush and do all of those kind of things, you know, outside of just sitting in a desk. And so that kind of spurred that idea of what can we do to help kids be more successful, not just get through the day, you know?
Yeah, incredible. That's such a beautiful answer.
And now we're looking at this amazing photo. You had mentioned you have 2 acres of land.
Yes.
And this is looks like just a portion of it. Can you describe what's going on here?
So this is our garden area. And I know I've taken a lot of tips from you about all the different types of gardens. And so we put in some raised beds in the background there. You can kind of see them this year. And so we have different places where they can taste herbs because some of the kids really love peppermint or rosemary. They like to get a little nibble for the day. And we also grow food for the rabbits that we have. You can, I don't think I can see him in this picture, but we have 2 little rabbits that hop around in there with us.
Oh, I love that.
And, you know, there's wagons and there's numbers on the pavers and there's little roads that the kids can drive cars on. And so it just kind of, I give them a little bit more of it because I used to want to garden for food and to sustain my family. And I realized I'm not great at gardening. So now I just kind of pass that on to the children to help me with. And so whatever we happen to grow is fantastic. And, you know, we learn a lot. We do a lot of experiments.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it. And again, more beautiful pictures. This space looks so open all over the place. I mean, just the kids. And I think one of the terms you use is free range.
Yes.
And can you share a little bit about what free range programming is and what that might look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that definition is probably a little bit different for everyone. But for our particular program, it means kind of allowing the children to have access to what they need that day. Like we have a swing area. We have a ladder that they can climb up into a tree. It's only a few feet off the ground, but they get that height and they get to feel independent. They can choose any of those things. We have the garden, we have chickens, we have quite a bit of chickens and rabbits that they can help tend to. There's a giant dirt hill that they can climb up. And just today they were using that as a stick factory. They were piling all the sticks from the field onto the top of the mountain. You know? And so it's kind of a flow. We have the 2 acres, but there's definitely like different destinations that they can go to and kind of play in those ways. When we have our first hour is essentially a free choice time where they can build those skills.
Mm-hmm. Are the children with you all day long, every day?
Is that, no.
How does that work, your programming?
Yeah, my program is just a 3-hour class period. I wish it was more because 3 hours go so fast, but we are 3-hour class periods and I have 3 different classes. So I have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning class, a Tuesday, Thursday morning class, and then a Tuesday, Thursday afternoon class.
Oh, nice.
We do sometimes the same things and we do a lot of different things for each class depending on the children and the day.
Well, just looking at these pictures, the vast choices, and I mean, you really have this expansive piece of property, which allows so much curiosity and wonder. And I love how you speak about free range. It's like whatever the kids need that particular day. And that they can go to that particular destination. So creating these destinations, I love calling them destinations. And when they get there, there's sort of maybe an invitation for learning or something.
Yes, exactly. In that one photo, we do go down to the creek occasionally, but that is just on our easement. So that's not a destination choice that they all get to
right,
go to.
Right.
Just for safety reasons.
Special spot.
Yes. Exactly. And we do a lot of learning invitations down there as well with moving water and standing water and different things like that.
And here's that tree you were talking about.
Yep. So that's the tree they can climb up and stand in. And then the picture on the right is what we call our pirate tree. It's actually a lilac bush, but they can get themselves up in that. And
I'm like, there's a human in there.
There is. It's hard to see. But yes, they love to make stories about that. It's been race cars. It's been all sorts of things. But that little bush that could. And I love that we have the 2 acres. And sometimes I wish there was more space or different places we could add. But when my kids were little, I lived on 0.17 acres and we still found things to do outside. We brought in a wheelbarrow of mud to have a mud fight, you know? And so I just am overjoyed with the fact that we do have the space to do these things and not feel like we're crowding, because this is a home-based program.
Yeah.
So it's not like we're not a forest school or in a public park. So it is, you know, there is limits on what we can do as well.
Well, we have many home-based programs in our Circle community, and it's amazing to hear folks in the community really talking about just the differences.
Yeah.
And just the view, it's in your home, it's on your property. So all of that, but the expanse of your space is absolutely incredible. So yes, for all of you family child care providers, home care providers, this episode is for you. So do you feel like there's a free range movement? Do you feel like that is something that we want to get more programs leaning towards? Or I love on your website, you actually defined what free range is, which is kept in natural conditions with freedom of movement. So imagine putting our children in that environment, just the beauty and the success that they're going to have. Can you share some of the successes or things that you've seen in your program that are because you've decided to keep it free range?
Well, I think one of my favorite things to notice, it's very small and most people wouldn't even notice it, but I have a little ladder that is, it probably goes up about a foot in the air at the angle that it's at. And the kids will, when they first start preschool, their very first week, they walk up it. They're usually hands and feet, like climbing up two by two, and they'll usually fall through or, you know, like it's difficult for them. And as the year progresses, watching them to be able to just stand up and walk across it or like skip steps and just having that as a constant in the middle of our outdoor classroom, we call it, just to see how their balance has improved, to see how their confidence has improved. Those kind of things to me are huge indicators of their success in the program versus being able to write all of their ABCs and read. You know, like that's not the end goal. The end goal is to build confidence, to build joy in the program, you know, to build curiosity in the bugs. And right now we have a dead bird sitting on the thing that they can look at with a little magnifying glass. To have that awe of nature is really, I think, important because it's easy to miss nowadays. And so when we're outside, we're reading the sky, we're reading the clouds, you know, we're noticing frost on the ground already. Like those kind of things to me, just human nature and nurturing that to me is just really a great opportunity.
I also love the word you're using here. I love the word that you're using, notice.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's a different word than observing. It has a different flavor to it that we're noticing.
Yes.
We're noticing our surroundings, which then hopefully we can build a relationship with it and so on and so forth. But noticing is a beautiful frame of reference. I love that.
In the spring, we like to notice when we have different birds visiting the bird feeder. And it's hilarious to me to hear a three-year-old say, "Miss Shannon, look, it's a red-winged blackbird. It's a male," you know, because they see the coloring, they notice the sounds. And not to say that they didn't know that before, but it's really exciting when I know that we've talked about that and to hear them reference it without any prompting from me.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, then you think that play. I think there's been a lot of mismanagement of the word play and, oh, the kids don't learn through play and nature play. Oh, what if they're playing all day? How can they be learning? And just by looking at your pictures, I can already tell just how you are using the loose parts and incorporating all of these incredible lessons within the play that I can just witness. Here we're looking at a picture of, I'm assuming it's your in gorgeous greenhouse.
Yes.
Just a little jealous.
My husband built that for me before we ever had plans to do the preschool. And so I love having that. I wish the shelves were lower because we have to like climb up on a series of chairs. But, you know, and it fits the plants. It fits. There's little chicks you can see in there. In the spring, we'll get chicks. And so that's a great opportunity, especially last year. I think it was last year, maybe the first year we had to cancel inside class because of illness. And so we met outside and that was a great spot for us to meet because in Ellensburg, we are very known for our wind. And so we can be outside in cold weather. We can be outside in, you know, rainy or sunny or whatever. But when it's windy and you've been outside for 2.5 hours, you're like, I need a break. So that is a great little structure. We don't have a lot of other outdoor structures, but that's been really fun to have as an opportunity.
It's really beautiful. It's just gorgeous. So can you tell us a little bit more about your philosophies, your programming, and some of these pictures that we're looking at?
We have gone through a lot of different ones, but I like a couple slides back, there was one of us at the pond. That was our like big end of the year field trip where we go outside. Yes, right there. And so we're observing different animals and different pond life. And so in this one, we're able to get some of the families to come out too. And also the picture on the right, I'm glad that one's up too. That's our community fall fest. And so the parents get to come out and they get to see the animals and to see the children interact with everything and show them how they can climb the trees and how they can carry the animals around. Because seeing pictures is not the same as seeing your child do it with your own eyes. And that's really a fun community building event. So I'm the only teacher at my program. I don't have any assistants or anything like that. And so part of my philosophy is like making sure the parents do feel very connected with that, the education that their children are getting here. And a lot of the times they'll take that, and I have a lot of parents that are homeschooling that have graduated out of the program, or their siblings are still in the program. And so that's been really fun to have the parents involved in that aspect, but also to see the children gain confidence while their grownups are away as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just incorporating nature and play, I guess, would be our two main components. And also autonomy and choices.
and bringing that that community into the piece of it. You know, that I hear a lot, again, with family child care providers and home-based programs, where that family is such an important piece. Because like you said, you are the only one running the show. So to extend that out to your families is so vital. And I'm sure they appreciate it. I don't want to skip over. So tell me to slow down if I skip over any beautiful picture.
No, that's...
So you have here a berry patch.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, that's a project that we're hoping to revamp. As you can see, that was in the middle of winter. That picture was taken. We've got berries that grow well in Washington State. Boysenberries and raspberries and strawberries, and also currants and gooseberries, which are a little bit more hard to find in the grocery store. And so we're trying to really keep a lot of native plants here, perennials, things that come back year after year, because it's really fun to see a kid be like, oh, I found some sorrel. Can I eat this? And I'm like, of course, you know, or they'll pull with like, because a lot of the time in my program, grandparents pick up the kids. And so they're always excited to show the grandparents the thing that came along. And so native plants is really important here, like keeping the property, trying to maintain it and keep it sustainable. On the left, there is a picture of a child building a tower of, those are donated planter containers from like a nursery or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they take those and they make pyramids and they can knock them down. And they've also used them as robot heads and, you know, like taking things that you wouldn't necessarily think as a classroom toy and turning it into something that is pretty cool.
Yeah. I think that's the joy of working with kids, is their imaginations are so beyond the beyond. They're not tainted yet. And I think that's what we want to capture in all of this work. And I think when they're outdoors, they have more space for that. And they can really, like you were saying, it just have free range, and having the environment have different options where they can go to do whatever they need. And what I'm also hearing is teaching our children how to notice how they're feeling so they can articulate what they need. So, and maybe they can't articulate it, but at least they know that there's options in different spaces in your outdoor space that they can go to meet that need. And I just love that.
Yeah. And I don't want there to be any confusion that free range just means they can do whatever they want. You know, and that's what we also talk about is boundaries. Like, what's appropriate? What's a great choice to make? And if someone's making a choice that you don't like, how can you deal with that? And so I think having this open space and having that time also allows them to work things out. Because I could be doing something and I say, I'm going to do this. If you want to help me, I would love that. If you want to go do something else, that's fine. And so it's kind of funny because once I noticed there was two kids that were within like a 5-foot radius of me. And then there's two more kids that were like 20 feet away. And then there was two more kids and they kind of just sectioned off. And then so they're halfway across the field and I can see them and I'm monitoring them, but I'm not controlling them, you know, and I'm making sure that everyone's using kind hands and, you know, not poking with sticks, but they're also like busy doing what they want to be doing. And it's helping them grow in those relationships and working on those communication skills and all the things that really are going to set them up in the future, not just in the moment.
Absolutely. And I love that it's important to clarify that free range is not just, yeah, they get the run of the road, but to have that structure and to incorporate that rhythm of the day and so on and so forth. But I also think that what you were saying in terms of kids don't need to be under our, you know, helicopter all the time. They could be
right.
It can be a certain distance away and still be like we know what's going on. And I think that's
exactly
vital. That's a vital, really important thing. With that, is there a certain curriculum that you follow? I know that we talked a little bit about sharing what you're doing with your community and building your community. How do you share what you're doing? Or the curriculum, do you follow the curriculum and how do you share what you're doing with parents?
Yeah. As far as the curriculum goes, most of it is child-led, seasonally focused, those kind of things. We do have, you know, a backbone that we kind of follow to make sure that I'm introducing the letters at a, you know, a time that we can at least know what they are. And so we do use Learning Without Tears. And then Kate Snow's Preschool Math at Home is really like the math with confidence curriculum. I love that. I always recommend that to homeschool parents as well. But most of it is going to be just kind of our rhythm for the day. And we're figuring out lots of different numeracy activities and forming letters. Just this morning, we had a hose out and we were trying to put it away for the winter because we're starting to get those freezing temperatures. And then a little learner said, oh, look, a letter L. And we weren't sitting down doing work pages. She just noticed that it was a letter L because of the shape of the hose. And so we always look for those opportunities. The picture on the right there is the infamous dirt hill. And so
I love this picture.
Yes. I'm trying really hard to figure out how to get that in my Cricut, but I'm struggling. Anyway.
It's black and white and it's just, it should be framed. It's like,
it's so
fun. These images.
It's foggy. Yes.
All these kids on this hill that you can just tell a story of the story that they're playing.
The stick play, the different like levels of kids that they're on. Some of them are digging in the dirt. Some of them are laying on their bellies or standing tall. You know, I love that they get to try all of those different things and work out the classroom dynamics in a situation where I'm watching, I'm observing, but they're given the freedom to work those things out.
Right. And you can tell that you're not right next to them. Like, even though they have sticks,
right,
you are far enough away that it's giving them permission to play, that the stick play is okay.
Yeah, we've worked pretty hard on controlling the stick play because, you know, it is a more of a risky play, which that's the buzzword. But, you know, like certain times, certain kids will have like, it has to be shorter than your arm. And other kids are like, if you touch someone with a stick, even if it's an accident, you're done for the day. You can try again next time. That's our philosophy. Like, you're not done forever, but today you're done because you couldn't control it. You know, and that seemed to work really well because you're not losing it forever.
Brilliant. So simple.
Yeah.
So simple.
We've got the fire
here.
In play. Yeah.
the two extremes here, two weather.
Exactly. Yeah, this one, they wanted to line up the eggs and count them. That was not something that I was like, we should count these eggs now. They were just like, how many did we get? And that's also in the spring when we were getting plenty of eggs. Right now, we are not getting very many, so that's disappointing.
Right, right.
But yeah, and like the fire pit, that's another risky situation, but we talk about safety. We talk about being respectful of the fire and being respectful of friends in the area, you know, and different things like that. Because that was a pretty cold day. Like, clearly there's snow on the ground. But, like, having that warmth, and they built that fire together. We have a little kindling chopper, you know. And so that's another way of a class community is meeting all together around that fire pit.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I love it. So any other memorable experiences or success stories that you have seen or observed or witnessed or noticed with your kiddos? Even with yourself as a nature-based educator, you know, something that struck you?
I don't know. I think one of the silliest things that happened recently is because of where we're located, like we do get a lot of birds. And the other day, I literally just learned that it's a mourning dove. Like, you are sad and mourning the loss of something, not a mourning dove's like rise and shine. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And I told my husband, and so we've both been kind of learning so much more about our our area and our native animals and different things like that. So that's really fun for me to learn more, even as an adult. Like, I feel like I'm learning more every single time. Every day, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that, or I never thought about why that does that. And so that's been really fun. And then just enjoying things and being outside more, I'm seeing the changes in nature. And I'm noticing those kind of things. And I'm able to bring that, you know, home to my kids, but also to my preschool as well.
Well, it just looks like you are making so many families, so many children so happy, then in turn making so many families so happy. These pictures are so joyful.
Yeah, we try to have a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. There is a lot of chaos and there is tears, but we really, I feel like it brings me so much joy personally, being able to do this. I just keep going back to that. Like, I get to wake up and do something that I love. And, you know, some days I'm like, I don't really want to be out in the 45 mile an hour wind, but I'm going to do it because that's what I love it, you know?
Yeah. And you always feel better after it. It's that, yes, that initial mindset shift. It's like, then when you've done it, you're like, actually wasn't so bad. That I feel so much better.
Right. Yeah.
It's just getting past that little negative voice going, no, you want to stay in and stay warm and cozy. And
right. You know, and also when the kids start learning how to put their own snow stuff on, or, you know, those kind of things are always such a joyous accomplishment too, because that's one less thing that we have to struggle with to get back out to playing.
And it's huge. I think the messages, I mean, clearly just all of this outdoor time the children are obviously having in your program, that's going to stay with them. I know when we talked before, you had alumni that would speak so highly of your program and all the memories that they had, and then off to the next phase of their learning journey. But I think this looks like it just provides such an incredible foundation for your kiddos. Any other success stories? So we're looking at a picture with six kids on a seesaw that's made out of one log and one thinner, longer log.
Yeah. And that long log is probably like 10 feet long. They carried it over. They worked together to carry it over there. They've learned how to angle it to be able to get all of them on that seesaw at the same time. And
really?
It just cracks me up. And this one, she's falling off on purpose.
Yeah.
but yeah, they like to try to do that balancing thing and see, like, they figure out the weight and how many, I need to go on this side because it's not going up, or, you know, they work that out.
I mean, it's and all the lessons that are going into that. So there's three, I'm just noticing also, there's three girls and three boys.
Yep.
And figuring out just that whole thing. So this wasn't a seesaw originally. This was something that they created.
No, that the log underneath is just a giant log that I brought from the forest, and they walk on it usually. It's like a balancing thing just for fun. But they've learned if they take this big one or a smaller board, because we have just like loose boards around that they manipulate, they can make the seesaw. They've also used this one to make like a hideout and something else, like a trap for someone. So it changes all the time.
But that's the beauty. I mean, to have enough big loose parts around where they're using their big muscles to move things around. And then, I mean, just imagine all, I can just hear them, because I hear in my own Secret Gardens outdoor classroom when they're all like in the zone and trying to make something happen. There's nothing that they can, that can replace that in my eyes.
Right. They're allowed to. Like, I try not to say no unless I know it's going to be, like, somebody could get hurt, or it's going to be like really impossible to clean back up, or if it breaks, or, you know, those kind of things, of course. But like, oh, you want to try that? Sure. Give it a try and see what happens.
Yeah. To have that yes environment is so crucial. Oftentimes I'll start workshops and I'll ask educators, like, how many times a day do you think you say no? And to really think about.
It is. Know, it's hard. Yeah.
It's hard to think, you know, how many times. And then if you can change your mindset to change a quarter of those no's into a yes, to really question why we're saying no, or why we have certain rules. Where does that come from? Is it just historically been that way, or is it something that I can change? And I think the fact that it's, you know, you're a home care
Right.
Program that, you know, there you are the history. So it's an interesting, it's a fascinating lens to look at it through. We talked a little bit about just the wind factor that's in your area. Are there any other weather conditions or safety concerns that you'd like to share in your program?
Well, I think just preparing the kids, like thankfully when we start at the beginning of the year, it's beautiful weather. You know, everyone can come in t-shirts and shorts and that's pretty comfortable. But very rapidly, like we've noticed that kids are bringing their coats and their gloves already. And so preparing parents ahead of time, like these are things that would be really great to have because I don't have a list of like, you have to get this snowsuit or whatever. I just have like, here's things that are going to make your child more successful. You're going to have more fun if you have rain boots when the grass is wet. You're going to have more fun. Your child is, I guess, going to have more fun, you know, if their ears are covered when it is windy. Ears and hands are like the two most important things we've noticed in comfort outside. Yeah. If their ears are covered with a little beanie or a hood, generally they won't complain about that part of it. And if their hands are covered, yeah, like the mud
here
suit.
Here they are.
Yep. You know, and that's the giant suit. Tree with the spider's mite. Yep. Those ones are
love it.
When we're muddy, it's just easy to flip the whole thing off. We have a little hallway that everybody lays their stuff down in and they can come inside because we are inside about an hour of the day. And then we go back outside again at the end of the day, you know, so they need to be able to take those things off. But having that extra layer means that they can roll in the ground. I personally wear like insulated bibs in the winter because if I need to sit down with a child and console them, or if I want to roll in the dirt hill, you know, or something, like I'm not going to be worried about my clothes because I'm covered as well. So me being prepared and then them being prepared is a great thing. And we have a whole class set of those rain mitts, those waterproof mitts that have been really fun too.
Brilliant. Brilliant. So we talked about play. I just see all these amazing opportunities with, I love doing art with children.
Oh, yes.
How that can be. I love your table, that it looks so well
It's very used. Loved. Yes, we made very ink out of cabbage. We made it. We grew a tiny, tiny cabbage. It was about the size of a baseball. And then we made ink out of it. And so that was really fun.
I love it. I love it. And I love this. It's a carton, egg carton.
Yeah, and just half of it.
You painted the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then collecting different flowers or different color, different flowers that go with the color, which is...
Yeah, anything that we found. Yeah. We found that chicory, which is technically a weed, is a great blue color because that one's hard to find. It seems like in nature, but that was a good find. And most of these things, like the marigolds and the cosmos self-seeded, so and the sunflowers. So, you know, in the spring, things just start growing and you're like, perfect, let's go find everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So smart. I love it. And you had so many different examples of how you're using nature's loose parts. And again, our circle members are going to absolutely love this presentation because I love your examples. And I know that as educators, we are like, ooh, I'm going to try that.
Yes.
So in this picture, you have pictures of things, of nature, and then you actually have nature's loose parts to match them.
Yes. Yeah, and I got those off of the internet somewhere. I'll try to think if I can link them later. But yeah, we let, you know, leaves, sticks, pine cones. Those are horse chestnuts, I think, also in there. But we got bucketfuls of acorns this year. So I'm always like, if you're at a park, grab some little bits and bring them in. You know, the parents know.
They do the same thing.
Yes, they've been sending in dead bugs recently because we have a really cool microscope that you can look at the whole big things, not just little slides. And I love it. So all the dead bugs have been pouring in, which is hilarious.
Yeah, that's so great. And here's some more. I mean, you just have all these invitations on the leaves. It looks like you've written, you know, I-N. And then
those are the rhyming, yeah.
Rhyming. And then you have the B, which is on a stone. So bin and same thing with let. And just beautiful. Beautifully done, beautiful invitation, happy kids. It's fascinating to see all the options.
Yeah, and I love, so the my two favorite things about loose parts, like nature loose parts, is number one, they're generally free. You know, I did have to buy some wheat stocks online or something once because I couldn't find any locally. But like those are always going to be free or whatever. Like you can donate and get some pumpkins or something like that. So nature loose parts, you've got those. And then also thrifting and just getting things handed down to you. Like almost all of our outside toys have been thrifted and like a lot of our inside stuff too, because like, of course you want to be sustainable in your program. Just because something's beautiful doesn't necessarily mean you need to buy it new. And right. So that's something that we really try to do too. Like we've got the compost bucket in next to our snack area. You know, like we do a lot of things that try to keep our program sustainable too, not just beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you shared that. So those were two seeds of inspiration. So
yes.
Do you have, to close, I just want to actually comment on your weather station here.
Yes.
Did you make this? This is amazing.
I did. Yeah. I've made most of our like outdoor stuff just because, you know, I have exactly what I want in my mind and I can't really buy that on the internet. I've been learning how to build stuff. Sometimes my husband will help me like put up the fence. He did all of that. But like I built the mud kitchen and I built the water table. I partnered up with a local lumber company that donated a bunch of stuff. And so I built it, but they donated it. And that's been really fun because it is 3 years old now and it's out in the weather all the time. And it's still standing because I didn't, you know, buy like parts to fit together from a little package. And so, and the weather station needs to be repainted now. It's starting to fade, but it's fun to see that. Yeah. And one of my favorite things that we did with the thermometer was put a line where freezing was. And every day in the winter, we can say, is it above freezing? Is it below freezing? Even if we didn't look out and see the ice in the mud kitchen, we could look at that too and be like, oh, yes, it is below freezing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So if you were to give one seed of inspiration or a tip, an educator or a parent, what would that be to close?
There is never a reason not to take learning outside. I have so many things that I would love to tell people, but we have had days where we've spent the whole day outside and it's so much more relaxing. Like I feel like I'm breathing deeper. The kids are more in control of themselves as well. If you can, you know, there's always something to do outside. And if not, bring outside in.
Yeah.
That's just as easy to do.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Beautiful. So where can we find you?
Yeah, I think that you have my website, but I'm most active on Instagram at Little Free Range Learners.
That will all be in the show notes.
I know. I don't know if I have underscores or not. I don't think so.
Yeah, that will all be in the show notes. And so we'll find you there. But it's nice to know that that's where you like to hang out.
Yes, that's my favorite. And I love getting other inspiration from other similar programs or completely different programs. So I would love to find you as well.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Victoria. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. Before we sign off, we have an exciting opportunity for educators looking to bring learning to life outdoors. Consider enhancing your teaching journey with the Outdoor Classrooms Teacher Certification Program. This program empowers educators to transform any outdoor space into a dynamic learning environment. By joining, you'll gain skills to inspire students and foster a deeper connection with the natural world. Interested in making a difference with outdoor learning? Visit www.outdoor-classrooms.com to learn more about enrolling in the certification program. Don't miss the chance to expand your teaching toolkit and inspire the next generation with the joy of outdoor education. Thank you for listening and remember to subscribe to our podcast for more inspiring content. Until next time, keep inspiring young minds.